Chapter 9. The Island. I was desperate to tell the doctor what I had heard, but my eyes were drawn to three sharply pointed hills appearing out of the mist. Captain Smollett called to the crew,
"Have any of you ever seen that land ahead before?"
"I have, sir," Silver said. "I collected fresh water there once when I was cook on a trading ship."
"Did you anchor on the south, behind the inlet?" the captain asked.
"Yes, sir," Silver agreed,
then turned to look off at the misty island.
"Skeleton Island, they calls it."
It was a place for pirates once, and that's where the names come from.
"Do you see that tallest hill yonder?"
He pointed toward the hill rising high behind the other two.
"That's the one they call Spyglass."
"I have a chart here," the captain said. "Will you look at it?"
Silver rushed to the captain's side, but I knew he was disappointed when the captain handed him the copy of Billy Bones's map. We'd left the red crosses and treasure notes off this one. Silver pointed out the best place to anchor, and the captain thanked him. Silver walked by me and thumped me on the shoulder in a friendly way.
"This is a great island for a lad," he said. "You'll swim, climb trees, and hunt goats. If you decide to explore, just let me know and I'll pack you a snack."
The captain called Dr. Livesey and the squire over for a quiet chat. I waited until I was certain they couldn't be overheard and crept close.
"I have terrible news," I whispered to the doctor. "We should meet in the cabin. You need to know."
The doctor looked at me sharply for the barest moment and then said,
"Thank you, Jim."
He leaned close enough to speak softly to the captain, who stepped up to make an announcement for the crew.
"Lads," the captain said cheerfully, "this is the destination of our journey. Every man on board has done his duty, and I believe it is time for a little rest before we land. In the morning, we'll send boats ashore. Sometime in the sun will do everyone good."
The crew cheered this idea, and we were able to slip away during the celebration. I told them exactly what I had heard in the apple barrel. No one interrupted as I spoke, though the squire grew red and then pale.
"Captain," the squire said, "you were right and I was wrong. I await your orders."
"I never knew a crew to plan mutiny without a sign or a murmur," the captain said, shaking his head. "I was completely taken in by Silver,"
the doctor added.
"Silver played us all."
"And to think," the squire added, "they're all Englishmen."
"Well, that's behind us," the captain said. "We need to show no sign of knowing as we gather those who are still loyal and make a plan. We cannot turn back or the men would overwhelm us at once. We must be wise and careful."
"I know I can trust my servants," the squire said.
"So with us here," the captain said, "we have 7 men to their 19.
Then the doctor smiled at me.
"But keep in mind that we have Jim. He's the best weapon we have, as the men don't suspect him."
The others agreed that I was surely valuable. They poured my hands full of sweet raisins as a reward. As I chewed my prize, I decided that we must be in a bad situation.
If I was our best hope,